Welcome to Torah Dimecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. I'm Bruria Siegel, and today we will be studying Sefer Yonah, Perek Gimel, Chapter 3. In Perek Aleph, we saw the sailors' tshuva, their repentance. In Perek Bet, Chapter 2, we saw Yonah's return to God. And today, in Perek Gimel, Chapter 3, we will see Nineveh's tshuva. When we left Yonah at the end of Perek Bet, the end of Chapter 2, it seemed that his tefillah, his prayer, was effective. He had just been spat onto dry land. But the question still remains, what will Yonah do next? Let's find out together as we study Perek Gimel, Chapter 3. Take a look in Pasuk Aleph, verse 1. Vayhi dvar Hashem el Yonah sheinit lemor, and God speaks to Yonah a second time, saying, Pasuk Bet, verse 2, Kum lechel Nineveh, get up, go to Nineveh, ha'ir hagdola, the big city, ukra eleha, and call out to her. Last time the Pasuk said, aleha, with an ayin, against her. This time it's a little softer, call to her. Et ha'kriya asher anochi doveri lecha, the proclamation that I am about to tell you. And this is the moment of truth. Why? Because the Rambam explains that what is tshuva shlema, what is complete tshuva, what does it look like? He says, when a person finds himself in the exact same situation as before, but this time, instead of stumbling, he does the right thing, that is complete tshuva. And that is exactly what happens. Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, Vayakam Yonah, Yonah gets up, but this time not to escape the word of God, but rather, Vayilech el Nineveh, he goes to Nineveh, Kidvar Hashem, because God told him to. Clearly, it's still not his first choice. It's not what he wants to do. He hasn't come around in terms of liking this mission, but his tshuva is complete, because despite the fact that he would rather not go, he goes, Kidvar Hashem, in accordance with God's word. The Nineveh Haita Ir Gdola, and again, we're reminded that Nineveh was a very large city, not just in terms of its size, but also its influence on these surrounding cities. Mehalech Shloshet Yamim, it was a 3-day journey around the perimeter of the city. Pasuk Dalid, verse 4, Vayachel Yonah Lavo Ba'ir, and Yonah begins to enter the city. Vayikra Vayomer Od Arba'im Yom V'Nineveh Nahapachat. And he calls out, in 40 days and Nineveh will be overturned. This word, nahapachat, overturned, Rashi explains, actually has a dual meaning. The word can mean physically destroyed, as it is used in the context of the destruction of Sodom. Alternatively, though, it can mean to turn over, as in to turn over a new leaf, spiritually overturned, right? It could mean a complete reversal of behavior, going from evil to good. Think of V'nahafochu, and it was completely reversed from the Purim story from Megillat Esther. In other words, Yonah is giving the city a choice. It's kind of a choose-your-own-adventure. He communicates to them that they can create their own destiny. One way or another, Nineveh is going to be Nehepachat. But they can choose. Will it be complete destruction or complete transformation? Another question. Why the number 40? Why is that the number of days chosen as a time for the people of Nineveh to repent? What do you think of when you hear the number 40? Do you think of the 40 days and 40 nights of the Mabul, of the flood that destroyed the world? Do you think of the 40 years in the desert when the previous generation was eliminated? In those cases, 40 definitely evokes destruction. But maybe some of you thought of the 40 days leading up to Matan Torah when we received the Torah, or the 40 days after which an embryo is considered alive in the womb, or the 40 weeks until a child is born. In those cases, 40 represents quite the opposite of destruction. It represents birth or rebirth. So very similar to the word Nahapachat, 40 also has this dual message. Nineveh gets to choose. Will these 40 days end in destruction or in rebirth? And on Yom Kippur, when we read Sefer Yonah, every Jew is faced with that same choice. Will we choose the downward cycle of self-destruction, or will we turn things around and start our lives anew? Which one does Nineveh choose? Take a look in Pasuk Hey, verse 5. Vayaminu anshei Nineveh belokim. They believe in God immediately. 5 words in Yonah's speech, and they are immediately convinced. Vayikru tzom, and so they proclaim a fast day. Vayalbishu sakim migdolam ve'ad ktanam, and everyone from old to young puts on sackcloth. Word gets to the king, and he too takes off his royal garb, puts on sackcloth, and sits on ashes. He then takes it a few steps further, and he calls a fast for the entire city. The animals are included in this fast, and he encourages the people to call out to God and to return, to do tshuva and return from their evil ways. Take a look at Pasuk Tet. The king's proclamation to the city continues in Pasuk Tet, verse 9. Mi yodea yashuv v'nicham ha'elokim. He who knows should repent, and God will forgive him. Really, this phrase can be understood in two different ways. The first is the approach that the Radak takes. Who knows? If we repent, maybe God will relent. Similar to David HaMelech after he sins with Bathsheba. Mi yodea v'chanini Hashem. Perhaps Hashem will forgive me. Or Moshe after Chet HaEgel. Ve'ata e'ele el Hashem. And now I'm going to go up to Hashem. Ulay achpara ba'ad chatotchem. Maybe I will receive forgiveness on behalf of your sins. This approach, this uncertainty, maybe it will work, reminds us that tshuva is a gift from Hashem, and we should approach it with great humility. We're not entitled to forgiveness. It's a gift. The second way of understanding the phrase, and this is the way the Targum Yonatan translates it, is as mi yodea, one who knows he has sinned, yashuv, should return, v'nicham ha'elokim, and Hashem will forgive him. This is a much more confident reading. If one returns, he can expect God to forgive him. In this approach, the king seems to be conveying to his people, tshuva works, just return, and Hashem will forgive you. I think these two understandings of the pasuk really encapsulate the dichotomy we feel during Yamim Noraim, during the days leading up to Yom Kippur. I remember as a child being very confused. I would go to shul and I would see women crying and pouring out their hearts. And then my mother would insist that I wear my most beautiful dress to shul. And I remember asking my mom, well, which one is it? Is it a sad and serious day, or is it a happy, joyful day? And my mother explained to me, and it's stuck with me ever since, that really Yom Kippur is both. On the one hand, we're scared, and there's a lot to be scared about. We have a very short amount of time, and there's a lot of work to be done. Mi yodea, who knows if our tshuva will work? But on the other hand, there's a certain amount of confidence that we feel, because God invited us here. He gave us this gift of tshuva. He gave us this gift of forgiveness, and he's rooting for us. He's on our side, and he wants us to succeed. So, mi yodea yashuv, one who knows should return, v'yinachim Hashem, and Hashem will forgive him. What is the result of the city's tshuva? Will they be nahapachat in the sense of completely destroyed, or nahapachat in the sense of spiritually overturned? So if we take a look in Pasuk Yud in verse 10, Vayar Elokim et ma'aseihem, Hashem sees their actions. The emphasis here really is on their actions, not on their fasting, not on their crying out, not on their sackcloth, but on the fact that they changed their ways. Ki shavu midarkam hara'ah, that they returned from their evil ways. Vayinachem ha'elokim al hara'ah asher diber la'asot lahem v'lo asah. And Hashem relents on the bad that he was about to do to them, v'lo asah, and he doesn't do it. This last pasuk reminds us that more than our tefillah, our davening, and our crying, and our fasting, God is interested in the change in our actions, in our commitment to be better people. Just one final question before we end, and that is, how is it that Nineveh is so quick to do tshuva? The entire city is roused to immediate tshuva by Yonah's five-word speech. We have Nevi'im all over Nach who spend many more hours, who spend days preaching, and so often their words fall on deaf ears. We've all heard people standing on street corners proclaiming the end of the world, but who takes them seriously? And here Yonah, a complete stranger, shows up in the city of Nineveh, and next thing you know, the entire city has been transformed. To understand this, we have to go back to when Nineveh was started. In Parshat Noach, it describes that Nimrod became the king of Shinar and started preaching his evil ways. And then the pasuk says, Misham yatsa Ashur vayiven et Nineveh. From there, a man named Ashur left the city of Shinar and built the city of Nineveh. Rashi explains that Ashur saw Nimrod's evil ways were starting to have an influence on his children, and so he went and started his own city, the city of Nineveh. Rabbi Revach, the Rav of our shul in Los Angeles, explained that because the city was founded by a man concerned about the morals of his children, because it was a city built by someone willing to make big sacrifices to live in a good society, more than 1,000 years later, the city of Nineveh is able to change. They succeed in uprooting themselves from their evil and unethical ways, and they are able to make sacrifices to live in a moral society. We should never underestimate the importance of beginnings, the values with which we start off our families, the values with which we start off our communities can have an impact more than 1,000 years later. And honestly, even how we start off each one of our days can have a profound impact later on. Thank you for learning together. Le'ilui Nishmat Malka Esther Batzvi Yosef.